Over the past century, we've seen a 100-fold increase in the number of researchers, the number of papers that are being written is now 1.5 million, close to 2 million per year. And so it's going in all directions. It's increasing really fast. And I and we, the organizers, get a sense that something of a bottleneck is arising there, where communication is not as fluid as it could be. It doesn't really leverage the tools that the internet provides. Communities get siloed. Papers can sometimes be redundant. Sometimes they're wrong. And it's good to remember that a century ago, when this all started, because the community was so small, the purpose of writing papers was so different. It was really to communicate with each other. And in fact, until the mid 20th century, there was no referee review, basically. The editor would just accept a paper based on their impression. And oftentimes, they were struggling to receive enough papers. So there was no sense of a filter, really. If you were a professor, you wanted to share an idea with somebody else, you would write a paper, and it would be shared in this way. And over time, somehow, the publication process has completely shifted, and it's become a means to select, to drive our careers. It's become something entirely different. And what it's perhaps not doing as well as it used to just help us communicate. And so I would like this conversation that we'll be having to be about how we communicate with each other as scientists in the process of doing the science, and whether this can be enhanced using modern technologies. Of course, there will be obstacles. There are incentives that are in place that make this shift difficult. Tenure committees, I'm sure we'll talk about all these things, but somehow we need to densify. And that's a bit what I meant with this picture here. Urban sprawl is a problem and calls for densification so that people can be together and just interact in the way they should rather than just sprawl. And perhaps academia can benefit from densification of communication, more direct, less mediated, and more real time as well, etc. And I don't want to say more because it's not my point. My point is just to really welcome you and tell you, first of all, who we are, because many of us don't know each other. We are a very interdisciplinary crowd. We have 9 invited speakers who study social minds, computation, quantum matter, synthetic biology, bacteria. One of the speakers studies science itself, astronomy, cosmology. So it's a transdisciplinary group that we have. We have also external participants who joined us, and 21 PI residents who registered. And because they are active in the building, they may not be in the room during every talk, but they also have an interest in this workshop. Where we are, again, not all of us are physicists, and so maybe some of you don't really know what this Perimeter Institute is about. It is a leading and perhaps the largest theoretical physics institute in the world. It only does theoretical physics, and we have 9 subfields that are being studied here at Perimeter. Strong gravity, black holes, gravitational waves. We study condensed matter, superconductors, things like that, particle physics, quantum fields and strings, quantum gravity, which is really the basic problem in physics, the more theoretical problem in physics, and is being studied here. Quantum mechanics is as well, cosmology. So it's a hub for really foundational physics, and it is very central in that it has a lot of flow, many visitors coming in. It's a place like this. It's in the heart of Canada's Quantum Valley, which is really also a hub for tech. We have many tech companies in the area, Google and many others. There's the University of Waterloo, which is a leader in engineering and many other fields as well. So this is the context, the broader context. This place, just so you know, is an interesting private-public partnership. It was initially kickstarted by an individual donation, but now it's supported and sustained by the government of Canada and Ontario. And it's also, Perimeter is also the place where this happened. Just for those of you who don't know Perimeter yet, we sometimes produce viral
I was going to ask you to explain quantum computing, but when do you expect Canada's ISIL mission to begin again? And are we not doing anything in the interim while we prepare?
Okay. Very simply, normal computers work by... don't interrupt me. When you walk out of here, you will know more. No, some of you will know far less about quantum computing, but most of you. Normal computers work either there's power going through a wire or not. It's one or a zero. They're binary systems. What quantum states allow for is much more complex information to be encoded into a single bit. Regular computer bit is either a one or a zero, on or off. A quantum state can be much more complex than that because, as we know, things can be both particle and wave at the same times, and the uncertainty around quantum states allows us to encode more information into a much smaller computer. So that's what's exciting about quantum computing, and that's what we're doing.
Go. 2 million views. The point is, this is a place that has politicians excited about science, and I think it's quite unique in that way, and I just wanted to sort of share this with you, because it's one thing to be proud of about the Perimeter Institute. They really want to support the very theoretical work that's being done here, and it's remarkable. Why we're here is to gather views and experiences on open research. We'll have 4 talks every day, and also to brainstorm the way forward. And for that purpose, we'll have 2 sessions, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. They will happen in subgroups, we think, because we are a sort of big group to have one single discussion. So we'll have 2 or 3 discussions in different rooms. One will be in this room here, space room, and the others will be in other rooms, and we will tell you more later. A goal of the workshop would be to draft a white paper that summarizes the conclusions we reach and sort of perhaps makes explicit why we think there's still work to be done and the kind of work that we would hope the community will do. And for that purpose, we have this Google Doc that's live, and an email will be sent to you with the link as well. It's here also. We would like it to be really live in that anybody during the workshop can throw ideas in there, restructure it, change the outline, so that it's a place where sort of a trace of our discussion can remain, and eventually this can become a white paper. I just want to walk you through its structure as it is now. The way we thought about our discussion is really to understand why we need open research, to also go into the tools we need for this to work, so to be quite specific about the features that we need in a tool that enables open research. We want to think about credit attribution, because if you somehow construct a system that's different than the regular publication system, you have to think about credit, because citation metrics won't apply anymore. And it's really important in academia to have a clever credit attribution system. We will also talk about the path to adoption, because that's clearly one of the bottlenecks here. There are many in the room, there are people that are already driving this change, but there's still work to be done so that it's more broadly adopted. And so what can we do to help this, to facilitate this transition? And at the end of the workshop, we should all talk about what's next for this group and whether some subgroup remains coherent and keeps driving discussions and perhaps change. So that's the Google Doc, and it's live, as you can see. The final session of the workshop will be a panel discussion, and we haven't set the agenda for the panel yet. We haven't decided who the panelists will be. Our idea is that if controversies or differences emerge during our conversations, the panel will be the place to resolve them. And so if somebody feels really strongly about an idea or a proposal and somebody else opposes them, they should volunteer for the panel, and so that it can be resolved in this panel discussion on Wednesday afternoon. If you need help, IT help, you can email this address or go to the help desk on the 3rd floor in this direction. You can ask the organizers for anything, that's us. Stephanie Moll, you've all been in touch with, I think, and her office is on the 1st floor, behind the welcome desk. The Wi-Fi is PI public. And that's it for me. Welcome, enjoy, and I'm really quite excited that this is happening. I hope it will be stimulating. The first talk today will be by Simon Dedale. who's coming to us from the Carnegie Mellon University and Santa Fe Institute. Simon, you're a physicist turned social scientist.
This is right, yes.
You used to study cosmology and now social minds.
Exactly, yeah. So
you've worked on Wikipedia, among other things, and I'm really curious to hear from you.